to our victory and our breakthrough is in our disciplines.
All right.
Yes. Hallelujah. And so we want to talk about the discipline of darkness. And we're going to look at a couple verses in the scripture. And we'll be in the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter. And we'll read a couple of those verses, and then we're going to talk about the discipline of darkness. Isaiah 50 and 10, New King James Version, it says, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God," or rely rather, "and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we say amen to the reading of his word?
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. That verse 10 starts out saying, "Who among you fears the Lord?" And when it talks about fearing God, it's not talking about being scared of God. But it is talking about having a respect of God,
yeah.
a holy reverence of God. And you know, we're living in a time in which people don't hold many things highly. There is a sense of I'm trying to think of a word to describe the times that we're living in. There's a sense in which it seems like nothing is sacred for a lot of people. And yet, God does not change. And so in Isaiah 50 and 10, it said, "Who among you fears the Lord?" We who are God's people are going to have to act or behave as who we say we are. That might have came out a little disjointed, but we're going to have to be who we say we are if we are looking to get the results that the word says we're supposed to have. And then it talks about, and the thing that I want to try to communicate is that as a child of God, it says, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. See, one of the things that we need to understand is that darkness is not unusual for the child of God. You know, a lot of times we think that it's not supposed to get dark. Amen. But the Christian life is not all sweetness and light. And we don't want to get the distorted idea that it's going to be joy and roses and success but amen, what we need to understand, amen, is that there are going to be times when it's going to get dark. And when I talk about darkness, I'm not talking about just natural light. Amen. I'm talking about there are times when emotionally it's going to get dark. Amen. I'm talking about times when physically, amen, for some experiences, there's some times in our body, amen, it's going to get a little shady. and some things that we're going to have to go through. Amen. But there are going to just be some times in your life as a child of God when what you're going through just won't make sense. But there is a discipline for the child of God in dark times or in darkness. You are with me? And we want to talk about that on today. And as we talk about it, amen, I want to give you five propositions. And the first one is that those of the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Amen. Those of the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Like I said, darkness is not unusual for the child of God. And I've heard it said, amen, those whom God will use greatly, he allows them to be hurt deeply. Those whom God will use greatly, he allows them to be hurt deeply. There will be some of you all sitting out there to say, man, God's getting ready to use me. God is getting ready to use me. Hallelujah. Those who know the greatest devotion, those that love him, amen, many times experience the deepest darkness. And, amen, I've got Bible characters that can back us up. When we look back at some of the saints in the Bible, amen, we see, if we look back at Job, what we see there, Job 19 and 8, how Job was perplexed. You know all, amen, know the story of Job and, amen, what happened in his life and how he was one of the richest men in the East, and all of a sudden it looked like all hell broke out. And his wife even turned against him and said, you ought to curse God and die. Job, in the book of Job, records in Job 19 and 8, he said, he offends me up my way that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my path. You know, a lot of times we believe and we think that it's the devil that is bringing the darkness. But there are times when God has allowed the darkness to happen in our lives. Amen. Now, it was the devil who had his hand on Job. Amen. But for all Job knew, amen, Job said, he offends me up in a way that I cannot pass. He have set darkness in my path. Job was perplexed. And not only was Job perplexed, but Habakkuk, amen, the prophet Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, amen, Habakkuk in Habakkuk 1 and 2 says there, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Habakkuk was from, the situation in his time was perplexing to him. And he began to cry out to God, how long are you going to let me cry and not answer? Talking about discipline in darkness. Amen. If we go over to the New Testament, amen, that wasn't an Old Testament experience, but even the saints in the New Testament, John the Baptist found himself in prison and began to hear about the miracles that Jesus was doing. And he began to hear, amen, how the work was growing. And John the Baptist began to, amen, send some of his disciples to Jesus and said, art thou the Christ, or should we look for another? What was he saying? Amen. John the Baptist found himself in prison. Amen. Jesus was doing miracles and talking about he had come to set the captive free. Amen. Yet John was still left in prison. Anybody ever, amen, had a situation going on in your life and you wonder how come God didn't come to visit? Amen. How come he didn't come to visit? How come, amen, he didn't come to see about you? You hear him working over here and working over there, and blessing over here and blessing over there. Amen. There are some times, amen, like John, he began to wonder, and his faith in God didn't waver, but he didn't understand the plan of God. That's why he said, Are thou the Christ, or are you the one, or should we look for another? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. Paul even talked about it. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Again, talking about discipline in darkness. As a child of God, we are not immune from trouble.
Right.
Notice what the apostle said, troubled on every side,
trouble,
yet not distressed. Hallelujah. How can you be troubled on every side and not distressed? There's a discipline. As a child of God, there's a discipline that we've got to learn, amen, that will take us through the darkness.
Yes.
Perplexed, but not in despair. Hallelujah. I told you there are five principles I'd like to share with you. Amen. We talked about that first one. Amen. That, amen, those of the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Amen. Those that love God, many times he allows them to go through dark times. That second principle I'd like to share with you is that the faith that is born in the light often grows in the darkness. You all hear what I said? Amen. The faith that is born in the light, amen, often grows in the darkness. You see, we got to ask ourselves the question, when is it that we grow the most? You know, is it the happy days, amen, when everything is going your way? The sunny days, amen, when it's temperate and bright? Amen. Or do you get more growth, amen, in some of those midnight hours when you had to cry out to God? Amen. You see, we need to understand, and I need to kind of make you think back. Any of y'all remember back when we used to take pictures in our cameras, and our cameras had film in them? Anybody still remember film? And how, you know, you would take the picture and you'd have film in your camera and you'd have to take the film and get it developed.
Yes.
Amen. Well, the thing that I'm learning about faith is that faith is like film in a camera. And the thing about film in a camera is that it is developed in darkness. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's developed in darkness. Faith that is born in light grows in darkness. And I'm like you. I don't like when the dark times come. I don't like when trouble comes. Amen. But John Milton, who was the writer, I believe, of Paradise Lost, John Milton wrote Paradise Lost in the dark room of his blindness. Amen. Paul Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Amen. And it was in the dark room of the prison cell. John the Apostle, amen, received the revelation of Jesus Christ that we call the Book of Revelation, amen, while in the darkness of exile on an isle called Patmos. Amen. God wants to develop your faith And as a wise man has once said, never doubt in the dark what we've learned in the light. I want to say that again.
Yes.
Never doubt in the dark
what
we've learned in the light. Amen. It doesn't matter, amen, how dark it gets. Darkness doesn't change God. You see, the test of your character is how you act in the dark. Amen. What you should do when the lights go out in your life. What do we do when the lights go out? What do we do when, amen, it gets dark in our life? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to look to the Lord and trust Him. Hallelujah. I say we need to look to the Lord and trust Him. You see, what I've learned is that, or let me put it like this, what I'm learning is that we live by the promises of God and not the explanations.
Amen.
Why don't you stop and think about that? Amen. We live, and I know a lot of times when it gets dark and when things begin to go wrong, we want to know why. That's just human. We want to know why. But what I understand from the Word of God is that it is in Him that we live, move, and have our being.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
And so we live by promises that won't fail, not by explanations. And just because things don't make sense, that does not mean that they do not make sense. Amen. Because they don't make sense now, that doesn't mean that, amen, they're going to make, that one day, as one songwriter put it, we'll understand it better by and by.
Yeah.
Man, I heard one writer by the name of Thomas Watson said this. He said, where reason cannot wade, faith must swim.
Yeah.
Just keep trusting and obeying.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. When it gets dark, you still got to trust Him. Hallelujah. And not only do you got to trust Him, but you got to lean on Him.
Right.
In the dark, you got to lean on Him. Amen. When we talk about, amen, to lean, we're talking about leaning for support. It's better to be in a dark valley leaning on Jesus than to be on a sunlit mountain without Him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what God was teaching Job when Job was saying, God, you owe me some answers. Amen. The book of Job ends with Job never getting any answers, but Job learning that God alone was enough.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want you to think about that for a minute. In the book of Job, Job said, if I could just have an audience with Him, if I could just bring my case before Him, if I could just get Him to answer me. And Job thought that the key was getting answers from God. But what Job found out, that, amen, the key wasn't getting answers from God, amen, God was sufficient within Himself. And when God revealed Himself, Job didn't need any answers. Hallelujah. We all know that God is necessary. But He may put us in the darkness to prove that He is enough. Can you say that with me? I said we all may know that God is necessary. But He may put us in the darkness to prove that He is enough.
Prove that He is enough.
Hallelujah. Proposition number 3. You see, some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. Everything God does has a purpose. Everything God does has a purpose. And some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen at night. Let's get into the scripture a little bit here. Isaiah 50:3. It says, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. In that verse right there, we're in that 50th chapter of Isaiah. He said, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. There are some gifts that God packages in darkness. Hear what he's saying there? You see, a lot of what we go through, a lot of sometimes what we face, a lot of times we're under the impression that it's the devil doing it. The devil's messing with me. The devil, and we're getting depressed, and not always, but sometimes I'm under the impression that every gift does not come in shiny paper. Every gift does not come with a bright, pretty bow wrapped on top. There are some gifts that come in dark packaging. Hallelujah. Notice what he said there. Notice what he said. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. Do you know what sackcloth is? What sackcloth was used for? Sackcloth was used for a time of mourning. There comes in our lives sometimes when we have to mourn. And I believe a lot of us wasted feeling sorry for ourselves when we need to be trying to find out, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to communicate to me out of this experience? Notice what he said there. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. In other words, there's some lessons that I learned in darkness.
Yes.
That I should speak a word in season to him who is weary. Sometimes there are lessons you learn while you go through so that you can help somebody else who's going through. And born out of your darkness, there's a term that... Some of the saints of old, they use this term, the dark night of the soul, to refer to an experience to where they felt like that they were all by themselves, and it felt like death had surrounded them, and they called that experience the dark night of the soul. I think about the prophet Jonah. Many of you all know about Jonah. Mm-hmm. The experience that he had in the belly of the fish.
Yeah.
And he lived to write about it. And he talked about how in the depths he was about to despair. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there was a lesson that he learned in the depths of the fish that when he got out, amen, propelled him with the message and a whole city, a whole nation, he got their attention.
Yeah, right.
Amen. When he began to cry, 40 days. 40 days. Hallelujah. So there are some things that are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. Isaiah 45:3 says that, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. Now, in this verse here, the 45th chapter of Isaiah, what we have is that we have God talking about that there are some treasures in the darkness. And at this particular juncture, God was speaking to the Persian king by the name of Cyrus. But, you know, when we talk about how that there are some things that you can only see in the darkness and not in the light. Those of us that live in the city, a lot of times we're so used to the lighting, the street lights and what have you. But if you ever get a chance to go to the country, anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Get a chance to get away from the city and get out there where they got that country dog. That country dog. And it will surprise you when you get out there away from the artificial lights of the city. You will see stars in the sky. Then you'll say, man, I didn't know they were there. You see, the stars hang like chandeliers in a velvet canopy of space, and they are only seen in darkness. And you know, sometimes we have we make this statement, or we say the stars come out at night. But amen, in reality, the stars don't come out at night. The stars are always out. It just has to get dark enough for you to see them and appreciate them. Oh, I hope somebody is listening to what I'm saying. Amen. Darkness is not always your enemy. You understand? Amen. Darkness is not always your enemy. Amen. There are some lessons that are only learned at night. Amen. We're talking about the discipline that, amen, the discipline of darkness. Amen. And here, darkness hides that which is near, but it also reveals that which is far away. Stop and think about it. See, when the lights are on, we can see stuff that's close. But how many, you know, just like, let's say something's going on outside your house. In my neighborhood, something always seemed like going on outside my house, in my neighborhood down. And what do you do when you're in your house and you got your lights on and you want to see beyond what's in your house? What do? You turn the lights off. I'm talking about at night. You turn the lights off so it will obscure what's close, because you want to be able to perceive what's far away.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So darkness hides many times that which is near, but it also reveals that which is far away.
Yes.
Amen. There's some times when God will let it get dark so you can see what's coming. What's coming. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this today? We may see more clearly in the daytime, but we see further at night. Now, and then in the daylight, we may think the brightest thoughts. But at night, we often think the deepest thoughts. I don't know if it's just me, but see if you can identify. A lot of times when the sun is shining and stuff is going on, we're busy being busy. But it's when it gets dark, things begin to slow down, quiet down. That's when reflection and deep thinking begins to take place. And for me, I have to be careful, because sometimes I can go, you know, I can start thinking like that, and it'll keep me up in the middle of the night. Amen. Wrestling with and trying to contemplate stuff that I couldn't solve in the daylight. And many times I get my answers at night. Anybody, can anybody identify with what I'm saying? Sometimes, amen, in the bustle and the hustle of the day, I'm trying to keep up. But many times in the stillness of the night,
yes,
In the stillness of the night, amen, that's when I can hear his voice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Proposition number four. I said I've got five. I won't be before you that long. Proposition number four. It is better for you to be leaning on God in the darkness than standing alone in a man-made light. And what I want to do is I make that statement. I want to go back to the scripture that we read at the beginning. And the scripture was Isaiah 50 and 10. In Isaiah 50 and 10, it said that who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. I didn't emphasize this at first, but in the darkness, you got to trust God's reputation. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? Because you see, you don't see your way out. You don't, and you're handicapped in what you can do. And so in the darkness, you got to trust in the name of the Lord. His name is equated to his power. Amen. His name communicates his authority and power. And so it's in the darkness that we have to rely upon God's reputation. And then verse 11, this is what I want to get to here. See, a lot of us, we're not comfortable going through dark times. And, you know, we'll wait on God, and if God don't show up when we think he ought to show up, we do what it says in verse 11. Verse 11 said, look, all you who kindle a light, who encircle yourselves with sparks, and walk in the light of your fire. In other words, God will make it dark, and we're so industrious that we'll make our own light. We'll resort to artificial light. And notice what he said. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, and walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks of that you have kindled, you shall have from my hand, and you shall lie down in torment. So, what that's communicating is that, amen, when God, that there's a discipline that God wants us to learn in darkness. And that we get in trouble when we try to kindle our own light. Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. It is better for you to be leaning on God in the darkness than standing alone in man-made light. Hallelujah. Standing alone in a light that you made. Coming up with your own answers. Coming up with your own timetable. Amen. Thinking that I got to do something. Amen. But I like the old song where the songwriter said, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. You see, it's a natural tendency to want to, when we're going through dark times, it's a natural tendency to want to create our own light. Instead of saying, maybe it's something God is trying to teach me, maybe it's something God's trying to work in me or work out of me in the darkness. Hallelujah. The last principle that I want us to understand when we talk about the discipline of darkness is that if your sun is set, know that it's going to rise again. Amen. Know that it's going to rise again. It's not going to be dark forever. These old heavy burdens shall not last, but there is going to be a brighter day. You know, it's interesting, and I didn't put any of the scriptures, but you can take a look at it for yourself if you want to. If you go to the book of Genesis and you look at the creation, when it talks about the creation, how God created the world, you'll notice a pattern in the book of Genesis where it starts out with darkness and then with light. And it says it was evening and then morning was the first day. God's days start at evening. Say that with me. God's days start at evening. In other words, it went from darkness to light in the creation. Amen. And you can look at it and see for yourself. That's the way it's written. Amen. We think just the opposite. We think about morning, noon, and night. But God's day starts at night. Hallelujah. So if your sun is set, don't worry about it. Amen. The setting of your sun is just signaling God's getting you ready for a new day. A lot of times we feel like when darkness comes, when dark times come, God's forgotten about us. He has not forgotten you. Psalms 112, 4, unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. Y'all hear what he's saying? Yes. Amen. There arises light in darkness. The light is coming. Amen. Be disciplined and hold steady your course. Psalms 30 and 5. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the discipline in darkness. And so what you've got to remember, amen, even in the midst of the darkness, amen, remember that God sees you in your darkness. You might not can see. That's where Job got messed up. Amen. I can't see him. I don't know where he is. I'm reaching and I can't feel it. Amen. But then he quieted himself when he said this. But he knows the way that I go. I can't see him. I don't feel him. Amen. But he knows the way that I go. And when I come forth, I'm coming out as gold. Last verse there, Psalms 139 and 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to you. It's talking about God there. So no matter how dark it might seem in your life, amen, remember that he sees you in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. He sees you in the dark.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. The discipline of darkness. And